Marty Bremer has been preaching his own unique twist on Joshua 13 and 23. And by unique twist, I mean really weird screwball theology. He has been making the point that if God takes action on your behalf and you don't jump in and grab the opportunity or blessing or whatever, then you miss it. He makes the analogy to the pool of Bethesda.
God showed up one day and stirred the water and you didn't get in.
But remember, the Lord Jesus healed the man who did not move fast enough to get into the pool. The Lord Jesus came to bless his own, and he blessed that man by the pool of Bethesda. The man never had to get into the water at all. Christ came and found him. Marty cites the parable of the 10 virgins.
There were 10 virgins that were told to stand watch and wait for the bridegroom to come. 5 made it. The Bible says 5 were foolish and got left behind.
The 10 virgins all got to the same place at the same time, but the 5 foolish virgins didn't obtain oil before they got there. And so they were shut out of the wedding. That parable has nothing to do with getting someplace first or ahead of everybody else. Marty clearly says that people within the church congregation, meaning his church congregation, have messed up their families, their lives, etc., because they waited too long and missed the Lord when he was working on their behalf. This has got to be one of the stupidest things I have ever heard. Sin messes us up, for sure. And God himself in faithfulness will afflict his own people. But the Bible doesn't say anywhere that God pops up potential blessings into your life or my life and then snatches them away if you or I move too slowly. Once again, Marty gets back to the pool at Bethesda, and once again, he gets it wrong.
Because when God's done troubling the water, the opportunity is gone.
Let me shift to a higher level view of the sermon. Joshua chapter 13, which was one of Marty's 2 texts for the sermon, is not about this at all. It is about God telling Joshua that God had cleared out the land so far and that God would clear out the rest of the land, but God appointed Joshua to faithfully divide up the land by lots. God actually charges Joshua to simply be the administrator of the spoils that God has won for his people. Joshua 23 has Joshua also asserting that God was the one who gave them the land. Relying on this evidence of God's blessing and kindness, Joshua urges the people of Israel to obey God very carefully then and to love God wholeheartedly, and he warns them that disobedience will bring disaster. Joshua's entire exhortation is based upon the kindness of God and his worthiness to be loved. Marty launches into a very long aside about the lottery and why you shouldn't play it, and I don't play the lottery, but it has nothing to do with Joshua 13 and 23. He gets into President Obama, and he talks about his church members going to Las Vegas and Atlantic City. I'm sitting here thinking, do his church members really go to Vegas and Atlantic City? He goes on for quite a while about the evil of gambling, so I guess it is a problem in his church. The sermon descends into another good half hour of mere rambling. He does quote from 1 Peter chapter 2, but while everything Peter says is true, what does it have to do with this sermon? He's droning on, and by now my head is nodding. But this amazingly sacrilegious remark wakes me up.
Pat said something last night. Pat's a young Christian. He can get away with this a little bit. He said something last night. It's a little on the crude side, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. We got too many of God's people taking a dump on his throne and then asking him to clean it up.
Marty, I have decided, apart from using the pulpit to glorify himself and to spout nonsense, is a shock preacher in a lot of ways because he likes being a shock preacher. I think it's his way of asserting his supremacy over his people and even his amazingly equal and totally fantasized friendship with God. He eventually gets to Christmas presents and touching the unclean thing. I don't know what else. Honestly, he is totally rambling. He tries to bring the sermon back at one point to the pool of Bethesda, still saying that you have to get into the water when the water moves, and totally ignoring the fact that Christ healed the man apart from the water, out of the water, bypassing the water. But I will capture this quote from Marty, which I think he should take very seriously.
Some of you are sitting here, and I've rattled off some things that you've done, and you're sitting here going, yeah, so? Not even a tinge of conviction. If I were you, I'd be scared to death that you're not convicted.
Yeah.
Because that means the Holy Spirit has stopped.
Yeah.
Marty never finishes the sentence, so let me finish it for him. The Holy Spirit has stopped dealing with you. And yes, that is frightening, and Marty Bremer should take it to heart if he even has a heart anymore. This sermon has been droning on for 52 minutes at this point, and it stopped being meaningful 20 minutes ago, and yet there are still 20 minutes left, so I will close here. Marty has introduced and tried to prove a concept not found in Scripture. To do so, he had to totally rearrange and change the ending of the story of the man at the pool of Bethesda, whom Christ healed outside the pool precisely because the man could not get into the pool on time. On the way to mangling this straightforward account, Marty has mangled and misapplied several other passages and has also managed to show considerable disrespect towards God. This is not the worst sermon I've ever heard, but it is a very bad one. Once again, the central point of all the Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ, has not figured in a sermon preached by a fundamentalist. The sermon is really about how all your blessings from God hang on you and what you do. But, praise the Lord, that is not true. When we are in Jesus Christ, God sees us as being part and parcel of Jesus Christ, and we have all the blessings that God the Father has poured out to Christ the Son. The Christian life is about learning to live by faith and how to use those blessings we have in Christ with thanksgiving and courage.